This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, The Courage to Go On.
My sermon this morning is titled, The Courage to Go On. The Courage to Go On. I think we've all been a little startled over the last several days, not just by the passing of our brother, but so many events around the world, and you sit back and you realize that life's full of surprises. I'm sure you've been surprised by life on more than one occasion. Sometimes it's a great surprise. I mean, when you're told you're going to go to a store and you're going to do some special shopping, and your spouse says, "Yeah, but we just got to make one stop before we go there. I want to go to my brother, my sister's house. Pick up something," and you go with her or him, and you go into the house, and all of a sudden people scream, "Surprise!" And that's a great surprise. And then there are some surprises that aren't so great. And if you live long enough, I think you'll come to the realization, as someone has written, that life is a continuing process of getting used to the things we've never expected. Learning to get used to the things we never expected. You and I expected life to be different probably at this point. You and I, in many cases, expected life to be, as someone said, linear. It goes in a straight line. We expected there'd be no surprises. There'd be no turns in the corner. We wouldn't have to make U-turns or jug handles like we call them here in New Jersey. But life is that way. And it doesn't take a lot of living to learn that life is full of surprises. Some people would love to know what the future holds. Me, I wouldn't. But David, the psalmist king, he wanted to know. He writes this in Psalm 39:4, "Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am." So basically what he's saying to God is, let me know and go to, let me know what the last page is all about. Let me leaf through the pages of my life and find out how it all turned out. I know how it's going to turn out in one regard. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To me, that's a great story. That's all I need to know. Not because of anything I've done, but because of what Jesus did for me on Calvary. I put my faith and my trust in Him for what the future holds. There was a wonderful song I used to sing. I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. It's a secret known only to Him. I put my faith and the trust in the one who's written the pages of eternity. But can we be a little bit more prepared to face some of life's more challenging surprises and go through the deep waters of those times and seasons and come out the other side better and not bitter? Better and not bitter. There are so many instances in our lives, whether it's interactions with other people, that we go through a difficult time with somebody else, and we get more bitter about human relationships. We get more cynical in life. I think our country is in a place where people are just more cynical than they've ever been, less trusting. God provides the tools and principles for us to live and to cope in an imperfect world as imperfect people. With God's help, we can overcome and not be victims to the fears, anxieties, disappointments, sorrows, and distresses in life. I'd like to share five principles with you this morning. Five principles to go on. Principle number one, expect trouble as an inevitable part of life. I know that people would say to me when I was a kid, when you become a Christian, when you put your faith in Christ and Jesus Christ, everything is going to be just great. Everything will work out just fine. You'll never have any problems. This is what I was told when I was a kid 30 years ago. What? Why? See, right away you start not believing me. This is what I would hear people make these kinds of comments, you know, that everything is going to be just fine. And then I became a Christian and I found out, no. Then I started opening my Bible and taking it seriously, and this is what Jesus said to me in John 16:33. In the world you shall have tribulation. And the Greek word for that means affliction, anguish, burdens, and trouble. That's true. I found out that it rains on the just and the unjust. I found out that we go through the same things everybody else goes through, but we go through it with more of a safety net, more support. In his book, The Road Less Traveled, M. Scott Peck begins with these opening words, quote, life is difficult. In 1981, Harold Kushner, author of When Bad Things Happen to Good People, he described himself as being, quote, hurt by life. He writes that life's not fair and sometimes it doesn't make any sense. Now, if you haven't had those kinds of thoughts, maybe you're not facing the realities of life. Sometimes it does hurt. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. You're not exempt from life's punishing blows, and you're not alone when you're hit by them. Principle number two, being faithful to God today will prepare you for whatever comes tomorrow. In that previously quoted, in the world you should have tribulation, I didn't finish what it says. It goes on to say this, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So look, Jesus says this, you're going to have trouble, you're going to have problems, you're going to be faced with stresses, you're going to be faced with disappointments. These things are going to come into your life just like they come into everybody else's life, but I want you to know that there are some things you can hang on to. There are some mornings when some people wake up and all they can do is hang on to God's promises by their fingertips. That's all they've got. Jesus is saying to us, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Take heart, have courage. Together, whatever this thing is, we can beat it. Together, you're not alone. James 4:8, listen to what he says. Jesus says to you and Jesus says to me, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Reach out to God. He's as near as a prayer. You reach out to God and he'll be there. You'll have that sense of nearness. Now's not the time to walk away from the promises of God. Now's the time to lean on them. Use them as a crutch, if you will. Listen, every time, and there are times in life when people limp and they need a crutch. There are times when people are hurting and they need a bandage. They need something to comfort, to soothe. And God says, if you call out in me in such times, I'll be near you. You come close to me and I'll come close to you. Why do some people walk away through difficult times? Why is it that some people, when they go through a difficult situation, they walk away from God at that time? That's just the time you need to be close to God. Why is it that when some people go through difficult times, they walk away from the church? That's just when you need the church the most. David the psalmist is going through such a season of dark despair. And turn with me in your Bibles or see it here on PowerPoint. This is what he writes about in Psalm 69, verses 13 to 20. Psalm 69, beginning at verse 13 and going to verse 20. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. Let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Listen to that, tender mercies. That's like the female side of God. That's the tender side of God. That's the mother side of God. Embracing you in his arms, drawing you close to himself, draw close to God, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. He'll hold you close to himself. 17, hide not your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily, draw unto my soul, redeem it, deliver me, because of my enemies. Thou hast known my reproach, my shame and dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before me. Reproach has broken my heart. I'm full of heaviness, and I look for some to take pity, and there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. Everybody's walked away. He says in verse 14, I'm out of my depth. I'm way past my abilities on my own to deal with my current circumstance. I don't have the energy. I don't have the strength. I don't have the motivation. I don't have the inspiration. I don't even have the perspiration necessary to get through this alone. Don't let me sink in my despair. Don't let me be pulled down into that pit of desperation. You say, but people don't really feel that way. Oh, I've spoken to some of you and others who aren't here this morning. I know that there have been times when you've been just at the pit, and sometimes when you've been in it. You're here now, aren't you? God did get you through, didn't he? Amen. In verse 15, he says, I feel like I'm drowning. God, don't let me drown. When it's, you know, way above your nose. 17, I'm in trouble. Stay near me. I feel brokenhearted in verse 20. I feel brokenhearted, depressed, alone, and comfortless. I mean, that's a person going through a period of depression. That's a person who realizes there's no place to turn but God. That's a person who's been abandoned by all their friends. That's a person who's no longer getting the kind of counsel that can help get them out. That's a person who realizes that words alone will never be good enough to get you from point A to point B. That's a person who realizes it takes a lot more than just human wisdom to get you past the place that you are to the place where you wish you could only be. And if you want to hear Jesus' response and promise to those kinds of emotions, here it is in John 14, 18. Jesus says this to those emotions, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. That word comfortless is a Greek word that also has embedded in it the word orphaned. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you orphaned. I'm not going to leave you alone with those feelings. I'm not going to leave you victim to those feelings. I'm not going to let you get locked in by those feelings. I'm not going to let you imprison yourself and build a wall that's impenetrable around yourself by virtue of your own despair. I'm not going to even give you the building blocks you need to imprison yourself in bondage of those emotions. In your mind, at the outset, you are certain this illness, this trouble, this sorrow, this heartbreak, this fear, or this anxiety is going to pull you under, drag you down, crush you, or worse. But you may have forgotten that God is in the mix, and God is at the helm, and God is in control. And what does he want from you? Just hold on. Just hold on. Stop a minute. Get a little perspective. There are some things happening that hurt real bad, but there are limits on what those things can do to you. First of all, whatever that thing is, it can't cripple your love. Whatever that thing is, it can't shatter your hopes. Whatever that thing is, it cannot crush your faith, can't destroy your peace, can't overwhelm your courage, can't steal your salvation, can't break your relationship with Jesus Christ, and it can't conquer your spirit unless you let it. Unless you give in. If you give in, you'll be alone. You've got to hang on. No circumstance can take away what God has given you. No circumstance can take away what God has given you. Life's challenges are met with courage that comes from trusting the Lord and speaking to him in prayer. And you're going to need a lot of prayer because life is fragile and it needs to be handled with prayer. Principle number 3, when life crashes in on you, turn to God's safety net. When life crashes in on you, turn to God's safety net. God has provided a safety net to help you break the fall. It's called the church. Galatians 6:2, Bear ye one another's burdens. And the word for burden is baros in Greek. And it means weighing down, pulling down. Your church family helps lift the load of care. God demonstrates his great mercy through a church family. The Holy Spirit prompts the family to action. He calls us to come alongside you. He calls us to come alongside you and hold you up. The Bible says that we are responsible to pray for one another. It's our loving obligation. And the obligation and the debt of love is something you can never repay. You can never repay love that's given purely. And so we do calls and we do visits and we do cards and we do meals and we listen to those who are in pain. And when some people go through seasons of challenge, they walk away from the church and that's when they need it the most. Can the church make a difference when you're hurting? Well, I'm going to ask you. There are not a lot of us here this morning, but let me ask you this. How many of you, when you've been at a desperate time and a difficult time, have turned to your church and been helped by it? Let me see your hands. Now, let me ask you this. Are you kidding? Are you serious? Are you telling the truth? Do you really mean it? Everybody. Two hands. Is it mass hypnosis? Or is it real? It's real. This is why God brought the church to us. This is why we are the church. That we can come alongside and help somebody. We are part of God's safety net. Think of a world that doesn't have Jesus. Think of a world that doesn't have brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why your relationship to one another is so precious and so fragile. And you've got to be careful with it. Principle number four, God's grace and mercy never end. Listen to the Apostle Paul's words in his times of trouble. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, he says, "And Jesus said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glorify in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.'" There are moments in the midst of the storm, in our weakness, we will be mad at God. And it's okay. His grace and mercy to you aren't based on how you feel right then and there. God's love is not conditional. There are times when you'll doubt. It's okay. God's big enough to handle it. There are times when you're going to get angry at God. It's okay. God can handle it. But I want you to understand that all the times when we're disappointed, all the times when we have doubts, all the times when we're angry at God, you know what he's doing? He's standing like Jesus on a cross with his arms wide open and saying, "I'll take you home whenever you're ready. I'll welcome you to my arms whenever you're ready. Whenever you draw near to me, I'll be there waiting for you. I'm always here. Even if you're not feeling like I'm here, I'm here. You just got to wake up to that reality. I'll never abandon you. I'll never forsake you. You're the one that walked away." I've probably told you this story before, but I think it bears repeating. About an old married couple driving down the road on the highway, and they're in the middle lane. And up here on the right, on the left lane, the speed lane, there's a young married couple on the back of the car. It says, "Just married." And the guy's driving, and he's got his arm around his spouse, the new wife. And the wife looks at the husband. They've been married for many, many years. And she says, "You see that? Remember, we used to do that." And the husband looks at her while he's driving, and he says, "I didn't move." God hasn't moved. He's there. He's in the driver's seat. All you need to do is draw near to him. Snuggle up to him. He's never going to abandon you. He's never going to leave you. God understands your anger. Sometimes he gets angry too. But remember this fact. God loves you. God loves you. Give him your anger. Give him your disappointment, your sorrows, your anxieties, your fears. Because he loves you, he will comfort you, give you a new tomorrow. Struggling, doubting, ask God to help your unbelief. Principle number five. God has a purpose for you beyond this circumstance. A purpose for you beyond this circumstance. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Wherefore, comfort, that means encourage yourselves together, and edify, that means build up one another, even as also you do. As God brings you through each day of your trial, you have a story, a testimony. Without a test, there is no testimony. Without going through hard times, how would you know that God was able to get you through hard times? Without hard times, how would you know experientially that God's there for the long haul and will get you through hard times? You need that experience. God brings you through each day of your trial. Without a test, there can be no testimony. You have a story of faith and hope, courage, determination, love, support, God's faithfulness, and God's kept promises. As his storyteller, you can affect those whom God will bring into your sphere of influence who are going through the same thing. In other words, when you go through some tough times, and you get out of those tough times, and you've come through those tough times with God's help, you're going to meet people who have gone through almost or exactly the same thing you've gone through. And you have a word of encouragement. You can say to that person, I know what you're going through, the difference between empathy and sympathy. It's not just saying, I feel your pain. I've experienced your pain. I've had through the years different conversations with people before I got leukemia, before I got my cancer, and after I got my cancer. I can speak to people who have had cancer, and I can tell them, this is what I've gone through. I've gone through these things with it. I've gone through this stuff before. I can pray. I know God will get you through this. You can return a blessing, and when you do, you will be doubly blessed. Life is hard, it can hurt, it can be unfair, and trouble is inevitable, but through it all, we've come to know that God is good. God is good all the time. We must remember, all God asks us to do is believe and then hang on to his promises, no matter what. Closing story. News reports of a commuter flight from Portland, Maine to Boston. The pilot, Henry Dempsey, heard an unusual noise near the rear of the small aircraft. He turned the controls over to his co-pilot and went back to investigate. As he reached the tail section, the plane hit an air pocket and Dempsey was tossed against the rear door. He quickly discovered the source of the mysterious noise. The rear door had not been properly latched prior to takeoff, and it flew open. He was instantly sucked out of the jet. The co-pilot, seeing the red light that indicated an open door, radioed the nearest airport requesting permission to make an emergency landing. He reported that the pilot had fallen out of the plane and requested a helicopter search of that area of the ocean. After the plane landed, they found the pilot, Henry Dempsey, holding onto the outdoor ladder of the aircraft. Somehow he had caught the ladder, held on for 10 minutes as the plane flew 200 miles an hour at an altitude of 4,000 feet, and then at landing kept his head from hitting the runway. It took aircraft personnel several minutes to pry his fingers from the ladder. If courage is defined as grace under pressure, Jesus leaves you today with this thought again. 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My closing thought to you is, Jesus will give you whatever you need to get through today. Help is on the way. Just hang on. Let's pray. Father, I just pray for our folks today. I pray, Lord, that as I looked out, I see teary eyes, stories behind the face and the mask. Only you know. And only you can help. Words can come from the outside to the ear and be internalized. But only your Holy Spirit can work from the inside, where the pain really is, where the fear really is, where the anger really is, where the mixed emotions really are, and do the healing. And so this morning, Father, I pray for those who needed this message this morning, that you will allow the words not to return void, but that they will accomplish everything for which you have given purpose to the voice. Now we pray, Lord, that you will bless us as we sing our closing hymn and be prepared to give to our missionaries a little extra so the gospel can be preached around the world. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.